Just to mention our goals for today, for the first half a shiur, and that is to go over once again. We want to do a review today on Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maskil, Velechze, Velechze Zuzim Iman Noka. And then I want to finish up this article in Moresh's Moshe. Those are the two things. So let's read the Rashi. You know what? Maybe before we read the Rashi, we're on base on the days. But I think that before we read the Rashi, let's go over the Gemara. Mostly outside, but you know, we'll do it inside as well. Okay then? So it goes like this.
Can we start it?
We're going to start. I'm just reviewing a little bit of what we did yesterday. We didn't officially start yet, but so the Gemara says that we Utsricha, right? That was the Rav Papa Utsricha, and we're on the top of Beis Amid Beis, and the Gemara says the E Tana Metzia. So the Shavua makes sense in the case of a Metzia because he has a Ross Heter because his friend didn't lose anything. But a Mekach Umemka, where his friend pays for it, if he grabs onto the talus, that makes him into a Gazlan. So there's no Ross Heter, and therefore we shouldn't accept the Shavua. Now he turns it the other way around. The Eton a Mekach Umemka, who the Rami Rabbanan Shavua Le, Mishum de Mori Viamri Chavroi Domi Kayoev, Ano Domi Kayoev. So the Ross Heter here is going to be because his friend will get reimbursed for the money, refund on the money that he spent, and it's no big deal for him to go down the block and find another talus to buy other than this one. So I'm not a Goslin because I'm paying the money for the talus, and not only that, I desperately need the talus. And he doesn't desperately need the talus. That's how he's Mora Heter. And therefore he says, Lazel Litra Lisbon. Let him do a little bit more of a proactive effort and he'll find a cell. Then the Gemara turns around and says, well, what happened over here? If the Mocher received money, payment from only one of the two, then why does the Mishnah say Yachloku in this case? Let's just ask the Mocher to testify which one of these two Joes, you know, whether it was Reuven or Shimon, that actually paid him the money. And the Gemara answers, L'tzricha, the case of our Mishnah is the Nokat Mitravayim. So he accepted money from both of them. Michad Midaiti, Michad Bal Karche, V'lo Yadana. Now here's a Girsa question. Either it's lo yada or lo yadana. Either it means he doesn't remember, or it means we don't know. Even if he does know, his nemanis is completely gone. Mihu midaite umihu bal karche. Which one of the two gave it to him with his agreement, his das makne, and which one was bal karche? So we have two Rashis here. One Rashi we pretty much covered yesterday, and I'm just going to go through it very quickly. The other Rashi we started at the end of Shia yesterday, but I don't think we got to the end of the line. So the first Rashi is Aval Mekach Umemkar Deleka LeMeimar Hachi, which starts on the second and third lines from the top. So Rashi implies a question here. The Gemara says that there's a Ras Heter, this is the first half of the Tzrichusah, in the case of Mitzia, and that is because he didn't lose any money. And there's no Ras Heter in the case of Mekach Umemka. So Rashi starts by saying, V'afal Gav. meaning one could ostensibly argue that even in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, there is a horas heter. Why? Because just like we said in Metzia, no loss is suffered, so too here in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, there's no loss suffered. Shezeh, I think Rashi is referring to the person who grabbed on to the talis shelo kiddin, is gam hu nasan esamos l'mocher. Right, the Gemara later on is going to say that nakat zuzi mitravayhu, and the mocher received payment from two of them, kidu kinnon l'kamon. So the Gemara is going to say to nakat mitravayhu, chad midaite and chad bal karche. So what's going to happen if we apply the principle of yachloku? Is yitol ze chatzi ma'osav v'ze chatzi ma'osav. Each one is going to get back from the mocher half of his money, half his payment, that's a refund. And therefore the first kone really lost nothing. He's not in the minus. Why? Because the half of the talis that's going to be sold and paid to him will make up the difference, the balance of what he put out. So at the end of the day, he's not in the minus here in his bank account. So Rashi's asking, why does Gemara think that there's a horas heter mitzia but not a mekach u'memkar? The identical horas heter that applies to mitzia, so far as the other guy doesn't lose anything, applies here in mekach u'memkar.
So each one would have the talis also.
So we sell the talis. Each one gets half the market price that's paid for the talis. Plus he gets half of his the money that he paid the mocher, and he ends up with exactly the same money in his bank account that he started with. So why isn't that enough of a horas heter? So Rashi's answer is afilu hachi, nevertheless chisaron hu etzlo. And Rashi introduces a whole new category of chisaron, not chisaron in pennies and dollars, but rather in terms of the object that he wants to buy. The e lo avitzarech lo. If this first guy, we'll call him Reuven, was not in need of a talis, he wouldn't put out all this effort to try to find the talis to purchase. V'zeh, now Shimon grabs onto the talis, right, shelo kiddin, shebo lachlok v'litek chatzi domim shelo kiddin machasro. So we're talking about a whole new category here of a chisaron. The chisaron to Reuven is not the loss in dollars and cents, but rather the loss in terms of all the effort he put in and the excitement that he finally found a talis to buy. And here it's very difficult to introduce horas heter, because the tofes, we'll call him Shimon, realizes full well that Reuven put in a great deal of effort. He's got interest, vested interest in buying this talis. And therefore the Gemara thinks that he's a bit of a scoundrel, if you find him. He passes the borderline between horas heter and a ganav. He's not an outright ganav in a certain sense, because he does understand that the money is going to be reimbursed, and he paid the money, but he's a very bad guy, because he's undermining Reuven. But what I really want to do today is the Rashi Dimra Maskev Alechzi Zuzei Keman Miman Nokat. Here's a very important Rashi. We started at the end of Shia yesterday. I don't think we did an adequate job. Now, there's a very, very long and complicated footnote here in the Masifta on this Rashi, based on the Ran, not here, but the Ran elsewhere in Masechta Kiddushin. We'll see, we'll play it by ear and see if we can plow through this Ran. But let's just plow through Rashi first. Says Rashi, Lech se zuzi manoka, nishal es ha-mocher, mimi kibol domel. Now, if we assume that the Gemara is based on a principle that the mocher has nemanus, so lech se zuzi manoka means nishal es ha-mocher. That's what Rashi adds over here. Why don't we just simply subpoena the mocher into Bezin and let him tell his story? He's going to identify which one of these two individuals, Reuven or Shimon, paid him money. This Sanya b'Kiddushin. We have a Braisa in Kiddushin. The Braisa says that the seller is believed Lomar lo zemacharti v'lo ze lomacharti. Even though in Dine Mominus we need al pichnayim eidim yokodom, but here one eid is believed. Again, if you would ask me, which you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway, what does Rashi have in mind? We have something called nemonis shlish, that in Dine Mominos, if money was deposited in the hands of a custodian, which is called a shlish, that custodian has the nemonis of two eidim to tell us and identify who gave the money to him. That's called biyado. Biyado means that since this shlish has the money in his hand and he can give it to whoever he wants, he's believed to say, this is the fellow, I identify him as the one who deposited the money in my possession. In a similar way, I think, Rashi is applying this upgraded status to the mocher of nemonis of two eidim because he's holding on to the object. And if he's holding on to the object, he can give it to whoever he wants. Rashi is about to ask the question, the real bomb question. In our sugya, he's not holding on to the object. How do I know he's not holding on to the object? Correct. Well, no, mocher doesn't mean he delivered the object. Like, it could be that he got the money, he hasn't delivered it yet. But in our case, he must have delivered it because what does the Mishnah say? Shnayim oks v'talos. So it must be they delivered it. But Rashi hasn't asked that kasha yet. Rashi first is claiming that the Gemara's kasha is based on the underlying premise that the mocher has a certain upgrade in nemonis, like shnei eidim. Oh, fact Rashi. Now I don't understand the Gemara's kasha. Why? The afagav the mesayim. The Gemara concludes in that sugya in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Gimel. It says, when does the mocher have this special, unique nemonis to be machriya and dini mominis? That's only shemekho adayin biyado, because he's holding on to the mekach. And I would emphasize the word biyado. Biyado has tarte mashma. No one physically, it's in his hands, but it might not be in his hands. It might be, you know, locked up in a closet in a storage place. But it's considered an emunas of biyado, meaning he has control over the object. So we should believe him if he identifies the person who purchased them. Avol ein mekho biyado. The Gemara says explicitly, if he doesn't have the mekach in his hands, ein onema. Again, ein onema means he doesn't have the upgraded stat. He might be an eid echad, but he's certainly not shnei eidim, because the special nemonis of the mocher is granted to him because he has the mekach biyado.
Why does that give him any special status? Maybe it's a kenunyan. He's saying that he's in it with the other person that's claiming it.
Okay, that's a good point. Maybe it's a kenunya. I don't know. But let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says that the reason why he's not believed once he forked over the mekach is because shelo nasan leiv l'davar. He doesn't feel personally responsible to deliver the object. He's already delivered the object. Now you're asking him, well, who actually bought it? He doesn't remember anymore.
He's on to the next thing already.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's a seller. He's got a million different clients. As long as he's holding on to the object, it's his responsibility to deliver the object. He better remember very well who purchased the object and who paid him money. But once he coughs up the object and he transfers it over to the ownership of so-and-so, now go ask him, well, who was it that actually bought the object? He doesn't remember. Now Rashi adds another point here. Meaning both Reuben and Shimon were eager to buy this talis. And, you know, ask me now, well, to whom did he sell the talis? It's ancient history in his mind. He's already given over the object. So at this point, Rashi's really in a brach, because how can the Gemara ask Akasha based on the principle of the nemonis of the lokeach, of the mocher, when the mocher no longer has possession of the object? And the Gemara says explicitly that once he gives over the object, he's no longer in that position where he feels, you know, that he's responsible to remember who bought it, because there were many, many different people, or at least two different people, that wanted to buy it.
Is Rashi implying that if there was not a shnehem, but only one person ever inquired about purchasing this object, and he bought it, and it's out of his hands, that he might have no money?
That's going to be the next half of this Rashi. Okay. Correct. How many people actually came forward? So the Gemara says the following. You know why we don't believe him? When it's Eimek HaBiyado, That's because Hokibna Hasam Binokat Zuzi Mitravayu. There were two people, and now he's confused as to which person actually purchased it. Chad Midaite, Chad Bal Korche. One he actually agreed to sell it to, the other one just, so to speak, shoved the money onto his desk and against his will. The came into law Alei Rabbi Elashudi. At this point, if these two people are disputing who is the real owner, the rightful owner of this object, then they should take their dispute to a court, and the court will litigate. I, as the mocher, don't have this responsibility to figure out which of these two was the one who was midaite, which is bal karche. Again, I do have that responsibility before I deliver the object. But once I deliver the object, and there are two people that are vying for ownership, each one claiming that he had the valid mechira, then the Gemara says he's not going to have this on his mind.
Why is he more zahir to when the object's in his hand to know who to return it to, not when the money's in the hand, he has to know what to return it to?
Right, because he's a gazlan. If he doesn't deliver the object to the one to whom he was mocked it, he's mamish a gazlan. That's right, he took the money, and part of the responsibility of giving the money is delivering the object.
But he also is holding money that's not kedin. Someone gave him money for something he never delivered an item for. So he has money kedin. Why is he not a gazlan if he doesn't return the money?
Oh, so he says the following, that's the responsibility of Beis Din. Why? Because if two people come and claim, you know, each one saying that I want to get my money or I want to get my object, that's already the responsibility of Beis Din. You know, it's as long as he's holding the object, he's very careful to remember to whom he has to deliver the object. That gives him a special nemunas. But once he's given over the object, now it becomes a litigation and somebody wants to sue him for damages. Well, let him adduce Edim, or let Beis Din come to that conclusion. That's called Lo Ravye Alei Lashude. He doesn't have the responsibility to know and therefore to testify. We'll need a testimony in court.
Well,
Lo Dakulihai.
Is it because the second person was Bal Kerche that he doesn't have responsibility to remember who that money belonged to? At the end of the day, he has
right.
No money.
I don't know which one's Bal Karche. I'm right. Not sure, but
but you're saying if someone came and said, "I'm going to give a deposit to buy something, but I'm not paying the full price yet, and I'm not taking the object." You're telling me that the person wouldn't have responsibility to who gave him the money? Of course he would.
Has he delivered it?
Okay, so let's say he delivered it. But here's a guy who gave him money and didn't get anything in return for it, and he's not going to get anything in return because the item he wants to buy was sold to somebody else.
Is there anyone else vying for it, or it's only him? So the two people vying for it.
Two people vying, but yet he doesn't have it because it's Shnei Mochsim. So he doesn't. So the person, right. The other person, put the money in his hand. Did he do it before he gave it to the first guy, or after he gave it to the first guy?
So again, as long as he's holding on to the object, he's neman to say, well, I know which of these two gave me the money midaite. Why? Because then he feels the responsibility is on his shoulders to deliver the object. But once he delivered the object, at that point, you know, he like shuts off his mind and he says that if there's going to be a claim here against me, then that's going to come in front of a Beis Din. In Rashi's language, that's called Lo Da Kuli Hai, Lios Nizar Mishaholchu Mifano.
I don't see why to make a distinction between the two. Where is responsibility?
But Rav Osei, you know what? I just feel that we're cutting off Rashi prematurely, meaning Rashi has the kasha. We didn't even get to the teretz of Rashi yet. Again, okay. Let's go over Rashi's kasha. How could the Gemara say that we should ask the mocher? The mocher is not in possession of the object. And the Gemara says explicitly that if he's not in possession of the object, then he's no longer believed. So Rashi has to come up with some understanding of why the Gemara's premise here is that he is believed. So let's get to the punchline of Rashi. So Rashi says the fine. Then you could ask all your kashas, but I just want to get to the punchline of Rashi. So Rashi says, "Aval hecha de lo kibel damim elamichad." If he only received damim from one of them, then midkar dokerle. Then we give him full Nemanus, and we trust the fact that he's very careful. He remembers who gave him money. When does he get confused? When he accepted money from two people. As soon as he delivers the object and the two people pack out, they're not in front of him anymore. So then it becomes an issue of Beis Din, and he's not going to be dak. He doesn't necessarily remember Leos Nizar Mishaholchu Mifanu. Hemi daita, hemi daita. But our case in the Gemara is what case? Of lichse zuzi miman noket. What does that mean, miman noket?
He only took from one.
He only took from one. So Rashi says, Aval hecha delo kibol damim elamichad. Then he's believed to identify the one person who gave him money. So at this point in the sugya, since only one person gave him money, therefore he's believed to say who gave him the money. So let's read the Gemara's answer, then you're on. I just want to again get a Dover Sholev. So Gemara says, Velechse Zuzi Man Noket, which Rashi interprets, let's believe the Mocher. And since he only received money from one of them, he's believed to say, even though he's not holding on to it anymore, but he only received money from one of them. So in his mind, there's no litigation over here, there's one person, and he's holding on to the money of that one person. So in such a case, Rashi says, he remembers, and he's believed to identify the person that gave him the money. So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha de nokat, mi travayu, mi chad mi daite, u mi chad bal karche. Now, if he received money from both of them, and he's no longer holding on to the object, then Rashi's principle is, Lo rami anafshe, he doesn't feel responsibility, to came and and at this point, lo dakuli ha'ilios nizar mishalchu b'fanav hemi daitavei balkarch. So, if you accept Rashi's premise here, then what the Gemara is answering here is that there's no way we could believe the mocher. Why? Because at what point does the mocher forfeit his nemonis? As soon as he receives money from two people, and he gives over the object to one of them, and they pack out. At this point, the mocher thinks, if there's any litigation, let them rack their brains about it. That's not my responsibility. That's the premise of Rashi. In this case, then, the Gemara's answer is, V'lo yada mihu midaite umihu bal karche. If that's the gears of the Gemara, lo yada, then we're in real trouble. We'll soon see that that's Tosis' Girsa. But our Gemara actually reflects Rashi's Girsa. But in the original Girsa, which Rashi had and rejected, it said Lo Yada. Now, what is the implication of Lo Yada when you say forget?
Say
he would be Neman, right? He doesn't
not
remember.
That's implied in the Yerushlish formula, right? The Yerushlish formula is just believed as to whose money it is. To say who's Bakosh or who's this, that's the second level.
Okay, that's a good point. But again, I'm just trying to get the basics here without fine-tuning it. And he's saying that if you have the Gears of Lo Yada, what it means is that if he would have known, he would have had that money. In other words, the Gemara never dropped the original question completely. The Gemara is saying that Enochinami, let's ask the Mocher. And the Gemara at the end is saying, well, the Mocher doesn't know. And that's why we're going to apply the principle of Yachloku. But had the Mocher known, he would be believed. What do you mean he's believed? And the answer is that he's believed because he has to know which of the two gave it to him Bal Karcho and which of gave it Mirtzono, Midaite. Well, that's not true according to Rashi. Because according to Rashi, if there were two people, then once he gives up possession over the object and delivers it, and they fight it amongst each other, then he's not going to remember which one of them gave him midaita mi bal karcha. So how can the Gemara say v'lo yada, that he forgot? So that's the third Rashi, and that's the Rashi Dibra Maskil lo tzricha. Rashi says the following, lo tzricha de nokat zuzi mitravayu hachi gar sinon v'lo yad inon. And again, originally Rashi says there was a girsa of lo yada. Cross out that girsa. Lo garsina lo yada. We have to substitute it with lo yad inon mi he mi daito uhe bal koch, which means that even if he knows, we don't know. Why da feel yada bizu? Ein amocher nemon. He has no nemonis. Why? Because once he passes on the object, and they now fight over the object. That he's not Rami Anafsha. He doesn't feel that responsibility. Yos Nizkar Kuli Hai, and therefore Rashi concludes, and he says Mishaholchu. Once they pack out, Kidemuki Hasam, like the Gemara says it in Kiddushin. So again, Rashi is forced based on his understanding of the Sugya Kiddushin, to change the girsa here in such a way that we reflect that he, the mocher, has no nemanis. And why doesn't he have nemanis? Because the Gemara says that once he gave up the object, he has no nemanis. Under what circumstances, if he gave up the object, does he forfeit his nemanis? And that's a case where there are two people who are vying for this object. One threw the money in his pocket, the other one bought it, kidasu kedin mirtzono. Once they leave, then he doesn't have nemanis. That's Rashi's psychology. If that be the case, don't accept the girsa as we have it lo yada. That girsa cannot be upheld. So, Alan, now you can make your comments, and then we'll go on to Tosfos Dibur Masechta
Bavli. I think to visualize it, it seems like the mocher, from the moment he got the money, he becomes a shomer socher on the object, because he has the object, belongs to the other person now. And he has to deliver it. So he's pushing
out. I'm not sure if he's a shomer socher on the object. He definitely has to refund the money if the object was stolen. But I'm not sure he's a shomer socher. I mean, to be a shomer socher, you have to be paid for your shmira. And not only that, you have to be makabel shmira. I don't know if he's a shomer socher. But he definitely, if he can't deliver the goods, he's got to refund the money. That's for sure. I wouldn't call him a shomer socher.
It's sort of an unstated, but accepted that he's a shomer on the thing after that.
I don't know. I don't think he's a shomer. Again, if he doesn't deliver the goods, he's going to have to refund the money. I wouldn't call him a shomer.
Well, I'll
tell you the nafkamina. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to bring this mocher into a court, and we're trying to ask him a question, the answer to which is going to be accepted as nemanus with all the credibility of two witnesses, and it's going to give us achra between Reuven and Shimon, both who are vying over this object.
See, that
has nothing to do with his status as shomer socher.
Exactly,
that has to do with his status as a person who is medagdek, and he's very careful, and he has to know. Now, under what circumstances is he medagdek? So Rashi says, as long as he has the object in his hands and he's responsible to deliver it, he's medagdek. What happens if he gave it over?
He's not responsible to deliver it.
Because if he doesn't deliver it, then
he has to give the money back.
He's going to have to give the money back.
So
that's enough psychologically to make him responsible. He feels responsible because somebody gave him money, he's got to deliver the object. And that's how Rashi's learning. Again, I'm not going into the world of lovers.
Okay,
hopefully we'll get to that. But just on a psychological level, we understand that he feels the onus of responsibility. You paid me money, I want to deliver it.
But then when it leaves his hand, all of a sudden he no longer feels an onus of responsibility.
Yeah, no. Well, he has no responsibility. No responsibility whatsoever. He gave it over to the person. He assumes he did what he had to do, and then he's out of the picture. But the Gemara says that that's not necessarily so. That there may be situations in which we believe him even though he gave over the object. And what's that case? Where he gave over the object and one person paid him. And the Gemara says that if one person paid him even though he gave over the object, he remembers from whom he received that payment. Our Gemara is talking about the following two descriptions. Number one, he only received money from one person. And number two, he gave over the object. If both of those conditions apply, we still give the mocher nemanus to say, I remember who bought it from me, because there was no confusion. He gave it to the person who bought it from him, and he remembers who bought it from him. When does the Gemara say that if he already gave it over, he's no longer going to be very careful about it, and we can insist and rely on the fact that he remembers? That's only the case in the Gemara's Teretz here of Nokat Zuzi Mitravayit, where both of them paid. So what happens if both of them paid? If two people paid, one Midaito, he's the rightful owner, and one is Bal Karcho, then it works like this. If he's holding on to the object, he has to deliver the object to the person who paid him. He feels that responsibility over his shoulders. But if he already gave over the object and the people have left his presence, although again, did he give it to the right person? Let's assume he gave it to the right person, or in his mind he gave it to the right person.
Right? Money to the other person.
Right. So now Rashi says a gavaldik chiddush. Rashi says in such a case, the Gemara says that since he gave over the object and two people were vying for it, we can't rely on his memory to remember which person was the one that he actually agreed to sell it to. We're not talking about friendship here. We're talking about two anonymous people, you know, came into his house. He doesn't remember. Came into his shop, I should say. He doesn't remember. This guy came first. This guy came second. As long as he's holding on to the object, he has to know to whom develop. He has to. So he's still in the context of the mechira, and in that context, he remembers. Once he already gave over the object, and these people are now vying for it, let them the cup and shlug the vant. They'll go to Beis Din and they'll work it out in Beis Din. It's not my responsibility. That's what Rashi says.
But according to that case,
I wouldn't spend too much time on this Rashi, because our goal for today is twofold. As I said at the outset, we want to get back to the Moreshes Moshe after we learn Tosis. So let's look at Tosis Divya Maskil Velefse Zuze Miman Nokai. Pirish Rashi Nishal La Mocher, we're going to ask the Mocher from which is the person who bought the talis. You know, you accepted money for a talis and you sold it to somebody. Who's the person that you sold? The Afal Gav Di Eina Mocher Nemon Kisha Ein Mekho Biyot. So Rashi asks his question. The Gemara says in Kedushin that we don't believe the Mocher when he's already handed over the object. Kedisa Beperik Asor, as it says in Asor Yuchsin. Hani Mili, says Rashi, that's only in a case of Bidin Nokat Mitravayu. In other words, you have two negatives here. Tarti l'reus. On the one hand, you're not holding on to the mekach, and number two, there are two people involved, and he has a certain confusion. Rashi says, "Avol b'din nokat michad." If he had only received money payment from one of them, then neman afilu ein mekho b'yodo. Even though he's not holding on to the object, but one person paid him for the object, and he remembers. He's not going to make a mistake about who paid him. And based on this interpretation, Rashi says that we have to change the girsa. Right, according to Rashi, Garsinan Basar Hachi, when the Gemara answers Lo Tzricha Denokat Zuzi Mitravayu, which means according to Rashi that he's no longer believed because he's confused and he doesn't necessarily write down in his ledger, oh, the Mocher looked like this or this was his name. And therefore you have to change the gears of Aloya de Enon. Right? We don't know which one of the two. He may very well claim he knows, but that's not going to be considered Edus in front of Beis Din. Again, even though he's testifying, but he's not believed.
Lo Yadana and Lo Yadinon is the same thing.
No. If it says Lo Yada, it implies that he is believed. Lo Yadana, Lo Yadinon, right. Right. As long as it's not in the singular, it means we don't know. Okay. It means that we cannot know, even if he does know. And that's the way Rashi interprets this sugya. Says Tosfos, Ubechinam dochak lefarishkein. Rashi's interpretation is in vain. You know, it's to come up with this interpretation and then to change the girsa. In the Gemara, Rashi's not justified in doing so.
Why?
So that's what we want to get to. I got something stuck in my throat as usual. He says the following. So again, according to Rashi, if he had only accepted money from one of them, then the Mocher would be believed to testify who paid him the money, even after he gave over the object. Says Tosfos. The Hacha Parech. Now, what Tosfos is going to do here is Tosfos is going to claim that Rashi's problem is not a problem at all. Meaning, Rashi's problem was that since he gave over the object, the Mocher is not Neman. And that's what forces Rashi to do all the somersaults in the air that's going to lead him to change the gear so that we're talking about a case of Nokat Mitravayu, and therefore he's not believed. Tosfos wants to justify the Gemara's Kasha, Shapir Parich, without introducing this premise of Rashi that once he gave her the object, he's not believed. The Afal Gav, the Ein Mekho Biyodo, says Tosis Nemanhu, he is believed. Now wait a second. The Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin, Rashi quotes it, that once he gave over the object, he's not believed. So how can Tosis turn around and say that even though he's not holding on to the Mekach, he is believed, and that justifies the Gemara's Kasha that we should believe him? Zok Tesvis, the Gemara is talking about a different kind of Nemanus. The Gemara is talking about a special Nemanus that's vested in the Mocher that upgrades his status to two Eidim. Forget about that. That's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is asking a totally different question here when the Gemara asks, let's approach the Mocher. Nemanu keid echad. There's no psul here in Eidus as far as the Mocher is concerned. Again, you can ask whether or not once he forked over the object, is he still believed as two Eidim and he has the special status, put a big mem on his sweatshirt. You're right. He loses his status as a Mocher with the special Nemanus of two Eidim. But he's no worse than a rank and file citizen from the street. The Neman who keid echad. And here Tosis is implying a principle called Eid Echad HaMisayea, which means that although the Torah doesn't rely on two Eidim in a monetary case, but I meant to say the Torah doesn't rely on one Eid in a monetary case, but the Torah does give some credence and some element of credibility to the Eid Echad. That's called an Eid Echad HaMisayea. He gives a certain siyua, a certain strength to the Baldin, to the Taina of the Baldin, who's supported by the Eid Echad. So the Gemara is not asking on the din of Yachloku here, because the Gemara understands that Eid Echad HaMisayea is not going to change the Psak on the Mamon, if you follow what I mean, because in the Psak on the Mamon, you need two Eidim. The Torah says you need two Eidim. So, but what is the Mocher? So where, again, Tosis is always against, his back is against the wall. First he's saying, I admit that once the Mocher gave up the object, he's no longer believed as a Mocher. So what was Gemara's underlying kasha? Zok Tosis, okay, he's not believed as a Mocher, with the special demonism of a Mocher, he gave up the object. But the Gemara's kasha is, let's invite him, he's no worse than any other Eid Echad. So now Tosis has to ask himself the following question. So why would that change the psak? I mean, Eid Echad, with all due respect, is not powerful enough to be machriya and dini mominos. So we're still left with Yachlok. So Teisvis, what's the Gemara's kasha? Amai shneim nishboim. What is the power of an Eid Echad HaMisayea? It removes a shvuah. In other words, Eid Echad has the same power of Nemanus as a shvuah. And therefore, if you say that I have to take a shvuah, I have the support of an Eid Echad. And that support is enough to replace my chiyuv shvuah. That is the level of raya or hochacha of a shvuah is not in any way superior to the level of raya or hochacha of an Eid Echad. And therefore, also shamocher mesayo, we parted from mishvuah. He should be parted from a shvuah. Yiftar mishvuah, right? He should be parted from a shvuah. Why? Again, the Gemara is not objecting to yachloku, but the Gemara is objecting to yachloku mishvuah. The Eid Echad contradicts, let's say, Shimon. Okay, let's say the Eid supports Reuven. So if the Eid was there at the time, let's say the Mocher was there at the time, he serves as an Eid Echad, he supports Reuven in his argument against Shimon. And therefore, why should Reuven have to take a shvuah? Why does the Mishnah say that they both have to take a shvuah? Now he adds a sentence here in the Masifti. He says, Kishem Dehecha demakrish hu esabal davar, esabal din, mechayev hu bishvua, kamo chen kasher hu misayel ol abal din, yifterenu bishvua. Interesting. He's saying that if an Eid Echad is mechayev a shvua, that gives him the same status as a shvua, so that he can pater someone up from a shvua. So again, as far as an Eid Echad is concerned, if I bring an Eid Echad to testify against you that you owe me 100, you'll have to take a shvuah to be makdish the Eid Echad. That's one of the three cases that the Torah recognizes the chiyuv shvuah. So too, if I bring an eid echad to support my claim, if I'm the defendant, then I can exempt myself from a shvuah based on the nemanus of one eid. That's an interesting
equation.
In this
case, the other guy is mechuyav shvuah for two reasons. First of all, because he has this conflict with this guy. Second of all, because this guy has an aid that's helping him.
So right.
He needs it for two reasons, right?
Right, but in truth, if you accept the nemanus of the mocher, then the shvuah of Shimon, let's say, if the aid is testifying on behalf of Reuven, is a shvuah d'oraisa. You know, all the other shvuahs that we've been discussing are d'rabbanans, but now we're getting to a shvuah d'oraisa.
Mm-hmm.
So v'idah hishava shvuah d'oraisa, that's what the next line in Tosfos he emphasizes. This,
because
that,
of the eid echad, you mean?
Correct. Because now the eid echad is supporting a claim that he stole the talis, that Shimon stole the talis. Well, in that case, Shimon has to be makish the eid echad, in this case the mocher. And how does he do so? By taking a shvuah. It's not a shvuah d'rabbanan, but it's a shvuah d'oraisa. And the psak of our Mishnah, which Shnayim Oksim B'Talis, is Shneim Yachloku B'Shvua, makes no sense. Wait, just see, here's the punchline. Because again, why is Tosis, what's the agenda of Tosis against Rashi? Because Rashi has to change the girsa. Says Tosis, Vahashta, if you accept my pshat, Garcina and Shapir, now we can accept the original girsa without having to tamper with the girsa, Velo Yada. Which means that the mocher doesn't know. Why? Because the Iyaviyad, if he really knew, Havi Neman Keid Echad. And Enochinami, the Mishnah would not make sense, because how can the Mishnah say that they both have to take a Shvuah? So Tosfos says that now the Gemara is saying that the only way of interpreting our Mishnah and justifying the Pesach of our Mishnah is you assume that the mocher just simply doesn't remember. You know, he had temporary, amnesia. But if he would remember, Enochinami would be believed. But not the way Rashi understood it, that got Rashi into hot water. He would be believed as a mocher with the status of two Aiden. Because Rashi says, well, guess what? Once he gives up the object, and there are two people that are vying for this object, he no longer is Neman. But the answer is, he'd be Neman as an Eid Echad, which is exactly the thrust of the Gemara's Kasha, that once he'd be Neman as an Eid Echad, then Reuven would not have to take a Shvuah because he has an aid to support his claim. Shimon would have to take what kind of a Shvuah? A Shvuah d'oraisa.
Isn't Eid Echad invalid if he's a Baldover?
So what we're saying now here is that he's not a Baldover. Why? Because he's not testifying on his own moment.
I understand, but that's not called a Baldover. Somebody who's a
I don't know. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Baba Basra,
a Reva can say, I went to this one or that.
He has nothing to gain?
No, the Baldover is not always because you can gain.
So I don't know. I'm not sure. I think in Dini Mamon it's a Baldover, someone who gains something.
Not like Harv, you mean?
Yeah, like for example, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, there was a Sefer Torah that was stolen. And we need Adam to testify against the Ganim. So the Gemara says, let's take two people and have them testify. They saw the Gneva. So the Gemara says, no, we can't accept them because they own the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is owned by the entire city. So the Gemara says that they can be mafkir themselves by being mafkir their chet. I don't know. Again, you'd have to really study this in depth. But my premise is that a person who's testifying in a way that he's not no Gev Yedus, he would be believed as an eid echad.
He has nothing to gain.
Right. Just let me finish the Tosfos because I want to learn a little chula today. Umiu hani mili. I'm sorry. Havi matzi l'shnuye. The Gemara could have answered the lesser kamon d'nishal. Tosfos admits that since the eid echad would be believed again l'chayiv shvuah, then the Gemara is really going into a dochak here by saying that he doesn't remember. You know, he had temporary amnesia. Why not just say he's not around? So Tosfos leaves this question unanswered, but it is a little bit of a damper on Tosfos. And therefore, he introduces the Ri. The Ri mefaresh, the Ri is going to reinterpret the question of the Gemara, v'lechse zuzi miman nokat. The Gemara is not asking that we should ask the mocher the way both Rashi and Tosfos understood it. What was the Gemara's kasha? Whole nupshat. Dinish'al lahem mimi kibel hamocher hamos. Wow, we're going to ask Reuven and Shimon which one of them, again, the Gemara doesn't know that both of them paid money, right? The Gemara thinks that only one of them paid money. So who's going to testify?
Only one of them paid money? Is that right?
In the Havamin, again, everybody's, all Rashi, Tosa, and the Ri are all trying to understand the Havamin of the Gemara that we should believe the Mocher. And Rashi has a problem because why do you believe the Mocher if it's not the Yodah? Tosis has a problem. Why not believe the Mocher because he has the status of an Eid Echad? So why do you tell me that they both have to take the Shpul? The Ri is saying, no, the Gemara never meant to say that we should ask the Mocher. We should ask Shimon. And Shimon is going to tell you which one of them, either he or the other guy, Reuven, gave the most. That's clever. Why would Shimon be eager to admit that he didn't pay the most? Zaptari, she'enonu choshtin oso l'shaker bazeh, lomar nasati vu lo nasan.
Meaning the other guy?
Shimon, who's the one who hasn't paid the money, is not going to lie. That's not the
allegation. On what basis did he say that?
Okay, we'll have to answer this question, but let's just get the facts on the ground. I don't like to ask questions until I get the facts on the ground. That's just the way my mind works.
I want to know who is who, but who?
No, again, there's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven paid the money.
Right.
Because again, the Gemara assumes that only one of them paid the money. Ella, what is, are we talking about a case where Shimon denies that Reuven paid the money? He claims that I gave the money? So the Gemara naively asks the following question. We don't believe that Shimon is going to lie and say that he put out the money. Then we're not talking about Azar Gazla, that Shimon is going to say, well, I paid for it, and the money that the Mocher is holding on to is my money, when he knows very well that the Mocher is holding on to Reuven's money. And therefore, both of the Balei Dinim, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, Heim Einom Chalukim. They don't have a dispute as to who paid the money. Ella, what are they arguing about? What is the nature of this dispute, according to the Ri? It's Lemi Nisratza Mocher. So again, the Mocher may have received money from one person, but he knows that there's someone else online who wants to buy the object. So the Mocher may have decided, in the meantime, let's see who else comes in. You know, maybe there'll be another... Another faction that's going to come in and recommend, you know, that you appoint me to form the to buy this object. He says, Elami Nisratza Mocher. The fight here is between Reuven and Shimon about who did to whom, or I don't know what word to use here in the English grammar, but. Which one of these two had the prize? He got the prize of Ritzui and the Das Machna of the Mocher. So the Gemara thinks, in the Gemara's Kasha, that, you know what? Even if they're battling back and forth about this issue, we have another raya, another possible way of determining which one of the two he had Ritzui for. And that is B'nesina Samos. There's no argument about the Nesina Samos, and they're both agreeing that Reuven actually was the one who gave the Mos. But yet, once we clarify that there's no debate about who gave the Mos, and even Shimon is claiming, you know, even though he's holding on to Eftel Talis, he's admitting that he didn't pay for it yet. So Nishal will ask them, Mini Kibla Amokher Mos, and both of them are Moda, that the Mos were delivered by Reuven in this case, is then the Gemara thinks, Neda Mikach, we should know now, the Mistama, we have a principle here, a new Umdana, which the Ri was Machadish, she formulated, that Lo Oso Shenosan Amos, Lo Nisratza Mocher. Even though the Mocher might realize that there are other possible buyers, you know, there are many fish in the sea, and potentially maybe he could even sell it at a high price, who knows. But this is the Umdana. If he accepted the Mos, then he had Ritzui. Is Memela, if he had Ritzui to Reuven, Reuven gets the entire Talis. Why does the Mishnah say that we split the Talis? After all, why don't we just figure out who gave the Mos? Again, the Gemara hasn't introduced the Teretz here that they both gave Mos. And the Gemara has a hard call rule here. The Gemara is absolutely committed that whoever gave the Mos is the one to which he had Ritzui. So what does Gemara answer? The Gemara answer is, And in that case, there's no way you can use the Moz as a proof to whom he had Ritzui. That doesn't prove a thing, because in fact he accepted the Moz from both of them. Velo Yadina. Right, Velo Yadina, we don't know. Mi Kibel Mi Daito, Mi Bal Koch. We don't know which one threw it on his table and which one he accepted willingly. And that's exactly the reason why we need Yachloku, because each one is claiming that he's the one to whom the Mocher was Misratza. And now at this point we have no evidence whatsoever. We can't prove it. And therefore the Re doesn't even have to enter into the question of, let's ask the Mocher. You can tell me that the Mocher is not Neman, and I'd be perfectly satisfied with this. Again, there are two questions that we have to ask on the Re, and that Amir Tzeshem will be for tomorrow's discussion. Number one, why doesn't the Re agree that we should ask the Mocher in this case, and that would at least give me an Eid HaMisayea, Shita Satosis? And the second question we have to ask on the Re is, why don't we ask the Mocher if it's a case where he got money from two of them, and maybe he was very careful as to determine which one of the two he got money from, unless the Re accepts Rashi's conclusion that once they leave his presence and he doesn't hold the object, he's not believed. But Tosis is still right, let him be believed as one Eid. Okay, then, Rabbosa.